All right, so the topic today, I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, certainly not within this group, but I think as we start the new year, we need to think about where our mind is and who it's focused on. And if it's focused on ourselves inwardly, that's not the position the Lord wants us to, but instead that we set our sights on things above. There was one who did set his sights on things above. Unfortunately, it was the wrong way. So if you look at Isaiah 14:14, it says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, we know that this was Satan speaking. And the point was that he wanted to be like God. He wanted to replace God. The word like here means to resemble, devise or compare yourself to. We know that that frequently is something that a pattern that we may fall into. I know a lot of people will compare themselves to someone else and think to themselves, well, I'm so much better. And you see a homeless person and you think, one side of your brain says, oh, that poor person. And the other side of the brain, it says, you know, well, I'm so much better off. Or maybe I'm smarter than him. Maybe I'm wealthier than him. Maybe I'm used good judgment and he didn't or she didn't. So we have this, I'm comparing, and we have brothers who compare themselves to brothers and sisters to sisters and daughters-in-law to mothers-in-law. And we constantly have this, mindset that we are comparing and therefore judging and therefore valuing or devaluing. And that's not what the Lord wanted. He wanted us to set our sights on him. So if you will look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, this should be our mindset. Philippians 3:21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Greek word here is sumerphos, it means to be formed or similar, joined. It means to conform or be fashioned like. And so instead of saying we want to be like God to, quote, replace him, as Satan did, instead our mindset should be, you know, we want to be fashioned like his glorious body. This is something future. This is something that I look forward to. I don't have to try to replace him. I'm going to have the opportunity to be conformed to and with him. And while we're on this earth, that is hard to do. And so the title of this, if you will, is Pride. The subtitle is I Will Be Like the Most High. And what I want to do is go through several different passages where we see what pride has done to man. And then look what has happened to those who humbled themselves, including Christ. But then look at, you know, how we should act. What is the appropriate way, instead of being conformed to the world, to be conformed to Christ? And so let's start off there with 1 John 3:2. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so at the appearing, you know, we're going to conform to him. And that's a hope. That's something that we can look forward to instead of the prideful, I am like him, which we know we're not yet. In fact, we're so not like him because he was without sin and we were born in sin. And so obviously we couldn't possibly be like him. How can a creation ever replace the creator? It just doesn't make logical sense, and yet people pride themselves on who they are, what they have, etc. So let's start in the Old Testament, this is from 1 Samuel 17:28. And Eliab, his eldest heard when he spake unto the men. This is David's older brother. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" So here's someone, David, who was a shepherd boy, the youngest of the brothers. The brothers are on the battle line with the Philistines, afraid to confront their champion Goliath. And so he accuses David of being prideful, and he calls it the naughtiness of his heart. I think that's interesting. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at naughtiness, but you know, when we just finished Christmas and you're either naughty or nice, right? And so here's Eliab accusing David of being naughty, which means no Santa's coming to David's house, obviously. He accuses him of pride, accuses him of being haughty, the word has a similitude to. And David responds with, "Wait a minute, why are you accusing me that? I'm here because there's a cause. I'm here to perform a work for the Lord." And by implication, one obviously that his brothers were not. So no pride there, instead. Now, that's not to say that David was perfect and that at some point in time his pride did take a hold of him. But at this moment in time, he's accused of it, but it's not there. Move to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. Verses 24 through 31. "In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up." In other words, he was prideful. "Therefore there was wrath upon him, and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceedingly much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold, for precious stones and for spices, and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. For God had given him substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon, and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." And so we see in this verse the word pride of the heart, and the Lord had given him all this wonderful blessings of abundance to test him. And this pride, as you can see, the Hebrew word there is gobana. It means haughty. It means arrogance. It means grandeur, elation. It means loftiness, and it means pride. And so we see that Hezekiah was so proud of what he had that he showed the princes of Babylon. What happened to him? Well, they turned around and attacked Jerusalem. Now, it didn't happen in Hezekiah's time. It happened in his son's time, it says, because he humbled himself. But the destruction of Jerusalem was because of his arrogance. And yet the Lord was merciful to him because he repented. But now the princes of Babylon have seen all the riches, and of course they wanted it for themselves. Let's now take a look at Psalms 10, verses 2 through 12. Psalms 10, 2 through 12. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far up above out of his sight, and for all his enemies he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, meaning making himself low, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. And so, in this case, the proud person is lowering himself to the ground to be able to sneak up on and catch his prey. So it's not a humbling that we would think of as Hezekiah humbled himself, or as David was a humble shepherd boy. But the proud don't think that God will see. The proud will say, you know, who is God to judge me? Look at all of my grandeur. Look at all that I have, forgetting, obviously, that it was God that provided. Let's go to Proverbs 11:2. This is something that I've heard frequently through my life, especially in the business world. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. I think that is just a great proverb that should be written on the wall someplace. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. This pride, arrogance, this presumptuousness about who a person is. You know, look at me, look at my grandeur, look how wonderful I am. That when we start positioning ourselves like that, that's when shame comes upon us. And this is such a universe truism. If you just look at the newspaper, the number of people that are brought down because of their pride and arrogance that, oh, I won't get caught. I can do anything I want. I can get away with anything I want. No one will see. But in fact, someone does. There we have, shame that comes upon them and their family. Similar to that, Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride before destruction. Just as we just pointed out previously, when we lift ourselves up, when we boast about what we are, that's when the bubble bursts, and that's when things begin to fall apart. There's a better way of doing that, and when we self-promote ourselves, look at what I've done, look at who I am, that's when shame and stumbling and destruction follow. And so we read that about Satan, and I'm going to just repeat this verse from Isaiah, Isaiah 14:14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Again, this is Satan, and we know what happened there. He then stumbled. He fell, the Lord cast him out of the heaven above heavens and his presence. And so, he has dominion over the earth. And so there was, in fact, a fall as a result of this pride. So let's move into the New Testament, and let's look at some verses there about pride. Start with Mark chapter 7, and we're going to start, actually I have, I think it's verse 14. I think I mistakenly put Mark 7:4 there, Chip, but it's verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. This is the Lord speaking. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he has entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you without understanding also? Do you perceive? Sorry. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? So the things that we consume, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Note that pride is right there with all of these other evils. And notice that foolishness follows pride. Well, I think it's foolish to be prideful. I mean, we are created beings. God created us. What do we have to be prideful for? We didn't have anything to do with our design. You know, you hear about, quote, self-made men. Well, there are rags to riches stories. That's true. But God made that person. What do we have to be prideful about? So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the lust of the eyes and the pride of the heart. And so we go back to what we just read in Mark. It's not what goes into a person, but what comes out. And so our eyes are a place where things go into. We have images. So it's not that causes us to sin. It's the pride that says, God's not going to see my sin. I can do anything I want. And it's what therefore comes out of us that causes the problem. The eyes are, the lamp of our feet. And it's what causes us to stumble after we see something that we lust after, possibly, that causes the stumbling. It's that comes out of the heart. And so this word pride here, has to do with boasting, this self-confidence, that, you know, it's all about me. We're seeing more and more and more of that narcissistic attitude within the society today. It's become a cultural thing, and it is, I believe, destructive, very, very destructive. And we just have to remember that we were made for a purpose, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, etc., is not what we were made for. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or prideful in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. Okay, professing themselves. They were boasting about how wise they are, and yet they were fools. Here again, pride and foolishness go hand in hand. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image that made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth into a lie. Who did that? Satan. Thou shalt not surely die. He put in one word, not, when he was talking to Eve about the fruit in the garden. Thou shalt not surely die. Made a question, and as a result, Eve sinned. So changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Notice that of all of those evils, it's also disobedient to parents is amongst one of them. I think we have a culture again where discipline by parents has gone by the wayside because they're so afraid they're going to be accused of abusing their kids for swatting them on the backside and say, no, don't play in the street, you're going to get hit by a truck. Oh, okay. So I can be accused of abuse for that. But disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Pretty sad. Proud is right there with all of these other evils, envy, maliciousness, covetousness, etc. And all it takes is just a little bit of pride to enter in, and these other evils come right along with it. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy. And Chip, thanks again for doing all this posting. I hope you're copying and pasting and not having to type this stuff out, because there's a lot of scripture here, so thank you. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, that no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Notice that. You know, here we have what should be done, as opposed to what we read earlier, where disobedient parents is listed with those evils. Well, it takes someone that is rules his house well, having children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Well, what is the snare of the devil? Remember the temptations of the Lord. The last one is, look at all this world. I will give it all to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Christ said, no, get thee behind me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. So these are people that accumulate things, and they think that the more that I've accumulated, you know, then I'm more godly, and people will look up to me. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they which that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The word proud here is chupfo. It means to inflate with self-conceit, to be high-minded, lifted up with pride, to be proud. And it's interesting that it has to do with to envelope with smoke, meaning that you've heard the term, you know, blowing smoke. It's just a vapor. It's not real. And yet, you know, people will say and do things to lift themselves up, but it's not real. It's just smoke and mirrors. Sorry. And now I lost where I was just at. Verse 27, likewise also then, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in the lust toward one another. Sorry. Men with women, working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. I mean, all of these things, as we look at these, all go back to forgetting about God, completely losing where and who they are, that they are a creation. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There are others who will gather around these prideful people and have pleasure in them. And so we see that pride and boasting are, in many cases, the basis for a lot of these things. I'm sorry, I regressed based on what we just covered, and thankful to my wife to keep me on pace here. So 1 Timothy 3:1-7. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office, okay, we just read that, and we know that being lifted up with pride can happen to a novice. A person who is new ends up frequently thinking they are more than they are. They may not be fully competent, but they are prideful, and as a result stumble. And we read in 1 Timothy 6:3 that people who are teaching not Paul's truth, not the words of the Lord, are proud, knowing nothing, and they create strife, and they create perverseness and corruptness. And as we said, we brought nothing into this world. Why would we think that we can take anything out of it? And so you can see how this high-mindedness, this self-conceit, you know, causes these issues. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, narcissistic, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There we have it again. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Sometimes prideful people will put themselves on a pedestal and talk about how great they are, and they will act as though they are godly on the outside, but instead, inside, they have actually been prideful and completely turned away from the Lord. High-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. From them turn away. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, never learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Men of corrupt minds, high-minded. Notice the mind here. It is the mind that is where these evil thoughts are. This self, promoting, this pride. It's not real. The mind is where thoughts are. It's the heart that keeps us going alive, blood flow, etc. It's feelings, it's emotions, but it's the mind that causes ourselves to be prideful, thinking that we're something better than we really are. James 4:6, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the Lord, of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And there's the balance. You've got pride versus humility. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. They're against the mind. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. It's not us that lifts ourselves up. It's he that will do so. We have to keep ourselves. The Greek word here is hyperphanes, and it means haughty, the word proud, haughty or proud. The opposite of that is hupomino, to be under. So we see that contrast between the humble versus the proud. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. So, what is the device? What is the subtlety that Satan uses? He uses pride. He uses a lie. The proud are lying to themselves in many cases. This narcissistic culture that we are creating is false pride. It's showing off who we are with these constant pictures of ourselves to show the world how great we are, how much fun we're having, how wonderful we are, when in reality they're crying out for attention because in many cases they have insecurities about themselves, and by self-promoting makes them feel better. But we know that it is with humility that we should be clothed. Ephesians 2:8-10, and I'm rapidly running out of time here, so I'm going to see how far we can get. Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is not us, it is Christ. We are his workmanship. We were created by him and for him. And as the creation, why would we boast? as the creation, why would we think we're anything other than something the Creator put together for a purpose? Finding that purpose is not on Instagram, self-promoting. The word boast here is the Greek word to vaunt, to boast, to glory, to, you know, make a show of ourselves and to self-promote, as you will. Now, if we're going to boast, and I'm not sure how much of this I'm going to be able to get through, because I know Barney wants to start on time, but I've got approximately 20 minutes left, and I'm going to see if we can get through this. If we're going to boast, boast about this. Psalms 44:8. Psalms 44:8. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. If we're going to boast, we boast about God. We boast about being a creation created for a purpose by God. Satan said he wanted to be like God. If you want to be like someone, don't be a Satan who wanted God's position and power, but be like Christ. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be similar. We will be in like manner to him. That is a good aspiration. Certainly at his appearing we will be like him, but to desire to, you know, walk in Christ, to have Christ in you, to be like Christ in not in his power and glory, but in his actions, in his humility that he went to the cross to sacrifice himself for us. We're also not only to be like, but we are to be of the same mind, which is like-mindedness. Romans 12:15-16. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, in other words, lofty or prideful things, but condescend to men of lowest date. So be humbled. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, I've talked about others who are self-promoted, etc. But you know, so this is something that I need to take to heart. You know, just because we're in the Word, just because we teach, doesn't mean we're wise. The only wisdom that I have comes from the Word. The only wisdom that I have is as a result of trying to dig deep and have some understanding of what God is trying to talk to me. And so as I do this study on pride, it is not about others. It's all about me. It's all about what I need to know about pride to make sure that that's not the image that I have when I look in the mirror and say, are you prideful and boastful? Let's take a look at Philippians 4:1-2. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech thee, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Not same-minded themselves, but same mind of the Lord, and therefore be same-minded to each other. I don't know if that made sense, but, you know, my wife and I will never be same-minded. She thinks with the entire brain. I only have half of a brain. So how could I be of the same mind? How could I be on the same page as her? But if I'm on the same page as Christ, as is she, then I have a chance to be on the same page with her. And so that's what we strive for, is to be of the same mind with Christ. Philippians 3, flip a page back there, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable or made like unto his death, if by any mean might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So because of Christ's sacrifice for us, he sacrificed himself, we are to be like unto his death. We are to sacrifice ourselves to this world, to this life, in order to be and attain that same resurrection that Christ has in mind for us. An unbeliever has no hope. They have judged themselves already. We as believers have a hope that we have that resurrection just as he was resurrected. Romans 8:29, as we look at being same or like, the word image is used frequently. So in Romans 8:29, here we have the word conformable again, made conformable to the image of his son. And so we have the image as opposed to being conformed to the world. I'm going to read chapter 12, 1 through 10. We see this again. Romans 12, 1 through 10. I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So instead of being like the world, we're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice that it's the mind that needs to be renewed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that giveth on teaching. Or he that exalteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In other words, putting the other before themselves. And so, you know, we have this opportunity as a member of the body of Christ, the church of the body of Christ, knowing that we all have different gifts. We all are different members. We all have things that we're good at. There are some who are good at music. Let them sing and play and rejoice in the Lord. There are some who are good at organization. Well, great. Let's find a path and a schedule and let's get things done. There are those that are good at teaching. Let them teach. We can't exalt ourselves above others based on our gift because we all have different gifts. And certainly, there's no one that's that whole package except for Christ. He created us for a purpose. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4 more passages and we can finish up here. So we talked before about the mind and the renewing of the mind. Let's look at Colossians 1, verses 12 through 18, and it has to do with an image. It has to do with a likeness, all right? So all of these come together, sameness, pattern, conforming, image, all come together. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. What Satan wanted to do, Christ did. Christ was. Christ is. Image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He has the first position. He is the firstborn from the dead. He was first. He was creator. He was first. So how can we as a creation say that we could ever attain something of the creator? It is the creature that we are that is to be humbled by the fact in the presence of the creator. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And so the creator, again, we were created in his image. We were made like unto him. That doesn't mean we are him. We are not the creator. He is. He has that preeminence. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 11. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. So pride says, I'm better than you are. But lowliness of mind says, you're better than me. And maybe it's not better so much as we are at least equal, if not you being better. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So God, the creator, made himself in the likeness of men. How did he do that? Well, he had a pattern because he created man. And being found in fashion, this word fashion, by the way, has to do with a scheme. It's from the Greek word schema, where we get scheme or pattern. So found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death. So humbleness and obedience go hand in hand, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. So he humbled himself, but God lifted him up and exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are not the creator. The creator is the creator. Christ created all things, and we should bow before that and be humbled, because that not only did he create us, but he chose us. He chose us before the foundation. In choosing us, he chose us before Abraham. You know, before Noah, before Adam was created, he chose us before the foundation. And why? So that we can be prideful and boast? No. Absolutely not. But instead, to humble ourselves, to be obedient to him, and to look to him. In fact, I'll close with the verse that I started with after showing the contrast with Satan. Philippians 3:21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. All right, he created us, but it's still a vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We can look forward to that glorious body fashioned or a scheme or a pattern of what Christ is. That's what we look forward to. Not be like God in power and authority, etc., but instead subdued, humbled, bow before our Creator, and that we will be conformed to Him and not conformed to this world. Because to be conformed to this world is where the pride comes from. And so with that, I submit myself as not a pattern of the true humility that I should probably have at all times, as I see someone else and think to myself, you know, what a moron, what an idiot, how foolish is he? Who am I to judge that individual? They were created by God as well. Not self-promoting, but promoting Christ and trying to be like Him as a servant that humbles himself to be dead to this world. That's our challenge. That's what we should put before us in this new world, as this new year in this world, is to put Him as a pattern for ourselves to follow. And with that, I'll close. And I see Mike is online, so is Barney, so is Ron, so I'm sure they can answer all of your questions about this if you have any. The 5 minutes have left or so. And so with that, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful for this fellowship that we have this time. We have an hour now. We have an hour with Barney. And we know that there is your word before us that we can study and look to think on, not just today, not just this week, but throughout the entire new year that we have before us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to maintain a humbleness about ourselves as we walk, not lifted up in pride, but instead being fashioned like Christ. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.